Well, praise God. Awesome. Thank y'all. Yeah, give them a hand clap. Men, if you missed the men's fellowship Thursday, you missed something great. We had a great time. Took a great assessment of how many guns we have in the church. you can say whatever. I don't care what anybody'd say about that. You know, the thing about the whole thing is that, you know, we got to find common ground, and we got to have a conversation. And it just worked really well. Everybody got up, told some stories, had some big lies going on and everything else going on around there. But it was really good. Had a lot of fun. We're going to be doing another one in August. No, this is August, in September. And so get ready for that. And we're going to do the same thing over here at the church again. We're going to do something like that for a while. And anyway, it was just great. I just love to get to meet everybody and know everybody and see, you know, I mean, guys, y'all had some good ones. You had some good stories. So anyway. Turn in your Bible to the book of Daniel this morning, chapter 10. Oh, other thing is, don't forget, I want to ask y'all's prayers this week. We're going to be leaving tomorrow, catch a 3 o'clock flight out of San Antonio, going to Guatemala, and we'll be down there, Brandon Hale and Gay Morris and Jeff and myself. And meeting two others down there. We're going to be down there in Guatemala for the week. We've had some, we always go down there and do work, but Ivan asked us to come. We need some help because we've had some houses that have been broken into that we have a very big boundary line around there, and that people come from out into the fields and have come over and they've been trying to steal stuff from us. And so we're going to go down there and have to do some welding, build whatever you want to call it, bars. Some metal doors, keep the people out, do some stuff like that. Always wanted to, they thought it was too cruel, though. Always wanted to get, if y'all ever mess with electric fences, you know, and you have those Snell fence chargers, you know, like 50,000 volts. It won't kill you, just make you think you're dead. And always wanted to string one of those up around the whole perimeter that, you know, wire would be cheap. And just put, you know, and then put some signs in Spanish, you know, electric fence, touch it, you'll die, and stuff like that. You know, I figured that would just stop all of that, but. Be my luck, one of the kids would get into it. So, anyway, Brother Ivan outvoted me on that one. So, we're going to be down there working all week, so please put us on your prayer list. Pray for us. Pray that we make it through the airports. I'll really be honest with you, I'm more concerned about going through the U.S. airports than I am anything that happened in Guatemala. I don't know why. I just keep thinking I'm going to handle my blue passport, and they're going to say, Richards, okay, Phineas Project, okay, it's come up here. Take him over there and detain this radical. Anyway, I started this message last week about the seven hedges of thorns, and I took it out of the book of Hosea, chapter 2, verse 6, where God spoke to Hosea, told him to take a wife, and then he said, "Your wife's going to leave you, but put a hedge of I'm going to pray a hedge of thorns around her. That's no matter which way she turns, she's going to find no place to go." And I just believe in life, folks. Listen to me. I believe in prayer. And I believe that prayer works. But I believe that prayer works when prayer is effective, when prayer is prayed correctly. I don't believe it does any good to offer long, long prayers just to, for time's sake, to say, "Oh, well, I prayed for an hour." If what you said didn't make any sense, if it wasn't biblical, if it wasn't scriptural to what was supposed to be said, God wants you to pray. God wants you to talk to him. God wants you to ask him for things. God wants to give you things. God wants to bless you. But God wants you to pray according to his will. Now, can you imagine how confusing it would be if you were working a job and you were, let's say you took a group of five guys and you were out doing a job, whatever the job may be, whether it's landscaping or building a building or whatever you're doing it. Let's just say you're outside working. And so you get to the job and then you stop and you say, "Man, I just don't really want to go to work today. I don't know. Maybe we just ought to go home." And so all the guys started to unroll everything. They're all like, "Well, are we going home? We're going to work." And he said, "Well, I don't know. I guess let's work for a little while." And then he started working. And then he said, I don't know. I'm feeling better. I think we're, let's just keep working. And then in a minute, he said, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I think we ought to maybe just go home. It's getting too hot. Let's just go home." And then Before long, then you say, "Nah, listen, we got to go a few more hours. I got to finish this job." And before long, all your workers are going to have all these mixed signals of, "What are you talking about? Are we working? Are we not working? Are we going home? Or what are we going to do? We're going to go to another job, whatever." It would be just totally and completely confusing. I believe that the problems why a lot of times we don't see answers to our prayers is because we're praying that away. We're praying so confusing of prayers. We're praying half the time, "Well, God, if it's your will." Other time we're praying, "God, would you please?" Next time we said, "Oh, God, come on." Next time we said, "Yes, this is what the word says." We got such confusing signals coming out that I don't think heaven would even know how to answer your prayers if you know, you were sitting in heaven trying to get it done. Come on, it's the truth. Have you ever got in a prayer meeting and then just start really listening to what everybody's praying? And then you started out, you're supposed to be in agreement, but when it's over, they say, "Well, you know," and it just doesn't work sometimes. But if the Bible says if you pray according to God's word or his will, he answers every prayer. There is too much garbage preaching out there that God doesn't say yes to your prayers or doesn't answer prayers. That maybe he will or maybe he won't. It's like a lotto. It's like a slot machine with heaven. You put your prayer in and pull the lever, and if it turns up payoff, well, then you get your prayer answered. But if your prayer wasn't right, or this wasn't that, or this wasn't that, well, then you just get numbers rolling around, so then you're just waiting for the next time to drop another coin in of prayer to see if it's going to come up your number. Now, am I preaching right? I mean, do y'all think this too? Have anybody ever had, do you ever thought about this, huh? No? Yeah? Yeah. See, when I first started out with my Christian walk, I was like, "Okay, Lord, if I'm going to pray, if it be your will on every prayer, well, then how do I know if I don't know what your will is? And I'm just going to pray, Lord, if it be your will, then I don't know if you're going to answer the prayer or not." So I've just been sitting here slapping my yap, and we ain't getting nothing done. Here's Daniel chapter 10. Let me just read the word. Y'all looking at me funny. It says, "In the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, and the message was true, and his appointed time was long, and he understood the message and the understanding of the vision. Now, in those days, Daniel was mourning 3 full weeks. He ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came to his mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all these 3 weeks until these 3 weeks were fulfilled. Now, on the 24th day of the first month," everybody say the 24th day, "I was on the side of the great river, that was the Tigris, and I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Upsar, whose body was like beryl, his face was like the appearance of lightning, his eyes were like torches of fire, his arms and his feet and was burning bronze in color, and the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. The men were with me, but they did not see the vision. But a great terror fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in deep sleep upon my face, with my face to the ground. And suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble to my knees and on the palms of my hand. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand these words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have been sent to you.' Now while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before the Lord your God, your words were heard, and I've come because of your words.'" Now what day did his prayer get to heaven? First day he prayed. How many days did he pray? 24, right? He prayed for 3 weeks. Listen to me. Have you ever started praying and you didn't see an answer to your prayer and you gave up? Because we want our prayers to be like pulling up to the windows of a fast food joint. Or actually, we want it like, you know, you pull up and the deal comes on. And you say, "Yeah, I'd like to." You never can understand what they're talking about, you know. And they act like you're doing something wrong because you're not enunciating right when you're 6 foot away from a screaming speaker. Anyway, that's another whole story. But But we want it like that. We want our prayers like that. We want to roll up the window and say, give me two number sixes and a number three and supersize that. And then come around to the, you know, instantly. Have you ever noticed how you get irritated if you pull around the building after you've ordered and there's like two cars waiting in front of you? Oh, it's supposed to be fast food. And you had to wait like a whole 2 minutes, maybe three, before you got to the front. And then you're like mad at the place. I don't know if I'll ever stop here before. You know, it's not fast enough. How many of y'all in here, I mean, we're going to date ourselves, but how many of y'all, and I'm holding my hand up, can remember what it was like before a microwave? We were talking about, my wife and I were talking about, when we were married, there was no microwave. And if you cooked anything or did anything, you had to have a ton of pots and pans. You spent most of your time washing dishes because you just wanted to warm something up. You had to put it on the stove. There was no other way. You young people don't even know what it's like. Y'all just zap everything in the microwave. Do you remember how big a deal it was when you went to all the parties where they sold the pots and the pans? That was a big deal to get you a bunch of pots and pans because you had to have a pot and pan for everything, right? See, y'all are all laughing. I don't ever see those things. Maybe they're still going on. I don't even know. You know, it's like they don't even have pots and pans anymore. You just get plastic and throw it in the microwave. Right now they're trying to tell us that's going to kill us. And so we're like, oh, get out. You know, who cares? It's easier than the washing dishes. Washing dishes kill your back. But you know what I'm saying? It's just like the life. I mean, my goodness, I can remember when I thought I was really something because I had a CB that I had a little black box underneath and I could talk 20 miles. And now I got a phone that I can go to Guatemala and call right back to my wife at night and talk just like there's nothing. James Bond didn't even have one of those when we started out. Right? And so it's like we want it so fast. And the same thing with our prayers. We want it instantly. We want it just off of our lips and boom, it's just right there. And the problem is in our walk with Jesus, we want him to be a magician. We want a genie. We want to rub the magic lamp and poosh, there he is. And he answered our prayer right then. And we don't want to have to. Well, Daniel started praying. Well, the very first day he prayed, everybody say the first day. His words were heard in heaven. Listen to me. There is no length of time to get distance between getting your prayers heard from your mouth to heaven. That's instant. But the answer sometimes coming back takes some time because we live in an imperfect world. We live in a fallen world. We live in a situation. I've used this example before, but if I prayed and said, Lord, I need $20. And God said, okay, I'll speak to Jeff. And then so he spoke to Jeff and Jeff said, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I'm hearing God or not. I don't know if that's, I said, am I really supposed to give Pat? Am I really supposed to give Robert $20? And I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. So Jeff didn't do it. So then God said, speak to Frankie. So give Pastor $20. And Frankie said, well, I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know. I don't really have $20. I got a 50, but I don't have a 20. Maybe I can get some change today. And then he forgets about it. So he speaks to Pat. And Pat says, I don't know. So he goes through 3, 4, 5 people before he ever gets to the person that can ever talk. It may take weeks. Give me my 20. When he might have spoke instantly right to Jeff, but Jeff didn't walk in it. You follow what I'm saying, church? A lot of times our prayers we want instantly answered, but there's some things that have to line up. This is what happened in this prayer. If you look over in verse 13, he says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So the angel was sent with the word of God from the throne of God, but the demonic spirits fought him 21 days. So that meant he had had victory, and he was 3 days bringing about to get to Daniel to announce what God said. But the first day it was heard. You have got to understand, you've got to take faith in your heart that when you pray according to the word of God. Now look what he said here. The first day you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before the Lord your God, your words were heard in heaven, and I've come because of your words. Well, his words were, he was asking what was going to happen to the people of the people of Israel and what was going to come about in their lives, because he was grieved and mourning for hurting humanity that was lost, and they were without, like sheep without a shepherd. That's what Daniel was praying about. He was praying the will of God. God, listen to me. Folks, God wants to talk to you about all kinds of things, but as long as you're saying, God, I tell you what, that neighbor that's on the other side of my fence that won't get that thing straight, if you, man, can you send a swarm of locusts on him, Lord? And you know, God's not going to answer that. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your words. It's not. You're spinning your wheels. Sometimes you're spinning your wheels is trying to, if you're a husband and wife, the wife trying to pray to get the husband to change, the husband trying to pray to get the wife to change, when God really wants both of you just to change. But we don't want to hear that answer. We want to hear, Lord, would you speak to that woman you gave me? Now, Lord, we know women are a problem in the Bible forever, God. See, you're praying like that. And the wife is praying, that sluggard you gave me, Lord, he's filthy, sorry, God. And so God said, look, I want to talk to you. But we don't want to hear that. We don't want to open up and it's going and prayer like, God, would you speak to me and show me what's wrong with me? Oh, we don't want to pray that because then he may ask us to change. And we don't want to change. We want the world to change so that we can be like we are. Look at the person beside you and smile and say, man, this guy's good. It's the truth, man. It's the truth. We don't want to ask that kind of prayer because then God will speak to us. And show us what we need to change. Oh. And then that's work. Right? So, what I want to, this message I could talk about last week about these hedge of thorns, and I'm trying to show you how to pray and what to be expecting in your prayers and how you can see your prayers become effective and work, because I want to tell you something, that God sends an answer to you instantly when you pray. Sometimes he uses the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he uses the ministry of angels to you. Sometimes he's using, a combination of everything. Sometimes he's using people. Sometimes he's speaking to somebody's heart to give you a word and speak to you. But what I want you to understand is if you begin to pray according to God's word, he's going to hear your prayer. The answer is coming if you can get yourself in a position to walk in it. Amen? Okay, so I went over this whole thing. The first hedge of I was talking about was angels for protections. And I talked about angels last week, and I gave you a million scriptures on angels and angels' work. And let me tell you something. The ministry of angels is still effective and working today. Angels did not cease to exist just because people quit believing. Right? If there's an innumerable multitude of angels who always are eternal beings and never are going to quit existing, then the odds are they're still there. Okay? So whether you believe in angels or not, see, why I don't understand why the modern world wants to think and come to this place where Jesus walked in the streets of Nazareth, and the Bible tells us are all the dusty streets there he walked, and it says that signs, wonders, miracles happened, things happened, turned water into wine, did all this stuff, and nobody, it's written in the Bible, it's written in history books, it's written in all these things, and nobody seems to think anything, but it's like at the end of Jesus' day, at the end of the early church, well, then it doesn't happen anymore. And I'm like saying, well, where did it just stop? Where did all of a sudden Jesus said, okay, I died for you, I forgive you your sins, that's it, I'm going to heaven, see y'all if you make it. But that's what a lot of people believe. It's like we're left to this earth to just try to scratch through the best that we can, and when we die, well, then you get to go to heaven. But God's having no workings on this earth, and I'm telling you, that's not true. I'm telling you, his angels are sitting there all the time wanting to bring you protection, wanting to bring you blessings, wanting to bring you words from God, wanting to bring you all kinds of things, but nothing's going to happen if you don't believe it. So I gave you all these, 37 characteristics of angels. I gave you 26 works of angels, but I couldn't quit. I got a few more. I just wanted to show you some of the angels working in the New Testament, okay? Let me just give you some of these scriptures. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, it says, after the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, it says the angels came and ministered to him. Okay? That's New Testament. Matthew 18:10 says that the angels of children always behold the face of the Lord. So that must mean angels are assigned to us. I don't understand how all that works, but I guess they are. Okay? It says in Matthew 24:31 that the angels come at the end of the world to gather the elect. So I'm telling you what, you're going to see angels in the last days moving and gathering up those that are going to heaven. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 15, listen, how about this one? We sing it every Christmas, and the angels, hark the herald angels singing, glory to the newborn king. How come angels spoke to the shepherds then, but we don't believe that angels could speak to us now? Do you see what I'm saying? It's like all of a sudden you just stopped, and then there's no more belief. We all sit there at Christmas and sing it. We put angels all over everything. We have nativity scenes with angels and this and all this. But then we're all like, you know, well, that just, you know, they announced the coming of Jesus, but there's nothing else that he wants to announce. And then I think I made this point last week, if I'm not going to make it again, about, you know, then we turn into angels being, you know, like little fat, dumpy suckers flying around, you know. And I say it's just a bunch of bull. I don't like it. It just totally and completely misrepresents the whole thing of what God's doing. I mean, can you imagine what shepherds? Okay, we're talking about salty shepherds that's sleeping out in the field, keeping watch over the flocks by night, right? And a bunch of little overweight, dumpy little short angels come flying up. I mean, you would like swat at them. You would not be impressed. It says the angels fell down like, what is this? Impressed by what was going on. Okay, enough of that. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, it says, all of the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. Can you imagine that? And a multitude so great that can't be numbered all gets excited and jumps up and down and shouts and hollers over one person that turns to Jesus. Whoo, man, what rejoicing must be going on at all times. You see how angels are so excited in what's going on the things on this earth, but how discouraging it must be even for them when we don't even believe in them. In John chapter 20, verse 12, it was angels that were sitting in the tomb when Mary came and when Peter came and when they all announced the resurrection of Jesus. It was angels that were sitting there. Now, in Hebrews 13:2, it also says that an angel can take the appearance of a person. So then, if angels can take the appearance of people, see, we always think about dumpy angels or warring angels or something like that. But if an angel can take on the appearance of a person, then how do you know you hadn't passed them? But you didn't know. Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says, to be aware that you may have entertained angels. I got to tell you this story. It's one of my worst stories, but I always tell it to try to hopefully get somebody to not be ignorant like I was. When I first started serving Jesus, I mean, I had been there only serving the Lord a couple of years. And I was working as a carpenter, and of course we'd come out of the ranching background. I was broke, and I was making about $5 an hour as a carpenter. And so I was going to job that day, and what we would do is I'd buy a package of that old thin sliced bologna, and then we would sort that out through the whole week, and I'd get one piece on two pieces of bread and an orange. That's what I had every day, because that's all we could afford. And so no chips, no anything else, just a... Anyway... But, hey, I wasn't complaining. It filled my belly. It got me home to eat my hamburger helper that night. And so, so I was going down the road one morning. We were still living out in the country, and I was coming down this Caliche Road, and it was a foggy morning. It was in the fall. And I come up to the road where I was going to, the Caliche Road where I was going to turn on to the pavement. And I couldn't see. It was real foggy, and my windows were all moisture on them, and I couldn't see. So I rolled my window down, and I was trying to look through the fog to see if I could see a car light coming. I looked the other way, and when I turned back to look, there was this man standing right in the window. And man, I just, you know, I mean, I jumped back, and strangest looking man I'd ever seen in my life. Okay? This guy was, He spoke Spanish, but he didn't look Spanish. He was extremely tall. He had really high cheekbones. He was real light-complected. And he simply asked me in Spanish, which way was the directions towards to Sabinal. Well, Sabinal was the opposite direction I was going. I was going the other way. And so this guy was wet. He's wet from being out in the dew all night long. So we conversed a little bit in Spanish, asked him what he was doing. He said, he's looking for work and he needed to go to Sabinal. And so in my heart, in my nor down here, I knew I should have given that guy my lunch. But being the selfish person that I was, I knew that if I'd give him my lunch, I was going to go hungry all day. Had no money. So I was in a hurry. And I denied it. I kept my orange and my bologna sandwich and went to work. Told the guy where to go. I wrote it off saying, well, he didn't ask for food. He asked for directions. I told him where to go. And so he left. So we leave. I go to the job. I get over there on the job. I'm so know I miss God. And I feel so bad. But I mean, in those days, I had to work. I could not miss an hour of work. I mean, it's just even at $5 an hour, I knew exactly how much money we had to have. We were going to live, and I had to have it. And so I was just feeling really bad about lunch coming around, going to eat that old bologna sandwich. So it was about 11:20, 11:30, and this guy drives up out front. We were building a house at that time, and the man steps out, and he says, well, what are y'all going to put on the side of the house? And so the contractor I was working for, you know, he said, we don't know exactly what yet. He said, well, listen, I sell aluminum siding, and I'd like to talk to you. Let me just take you and your guys out. Let's go over to the cafe, and I'll buy y'all lunch, and we'll talk about this aluminum siding. And, I mean, I was so sick of knowing I could have been dancing and rejoicing that I had heard God delivered my bologna sandwich, and he provided me a hot meal. But I didn't. To this day, I believe that man that was standing there was an angel. I don't believe he was I looked in his eyes. His eyes were like eyes I had never seen before. I believe it was a test from God to see what I was going to do. And I blew it. And I'm still testifying about it 22 years later. I can still see that man's face in my mind today. I could give you an artist sketching of this guy and tell you what he looked like. I believe he was an angel. I believe it was a test from heaven. I believe the guy went down the road and poof, went out of sight, went back and reported in heaven. Yeah, he blew it. He's going to have some boredom. Leave him down there working as a contractor, I mean, as a carpenter for $5 an hour until he can kind of get his heart right. That was the report on Robert Richards that day. F. You can just believe. I have learned my lesson since then. I will dole out everything, you know, give you the shirt off my back because I learned my lesson that day. But what I'm saying is you just don't know. Folks, listen to me. You can never deny the facts of the supernatural in operation in our lives. If you want to live a life so closed-minded, so into yourself, listen, you're going to die and go to heaven and see every time you missed it. But if you live, and I'm not saying flaky, I'm not saying goofy, I'm not saying, you know, I'm just talking about it's not, the supernatural is not flaky. Angels are real. They ministered to Jesus. Listen, let me give you a few more. Let me just show you six more things that they did in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 5, verse 19, they opened prison doors for Peter. Well, where's Jesus? He's already gone to heaven. It's all over with. Angels just didn't minister to him. Now it's Peter. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, after the church had been, the church had come under persecution and everybody was scattered out all over the place, Philip was walking down the road and says an angel came and spoke to him and told him to go up to the chariot where the eunuch of the Queen of Sheba was and to speak to him and tell him of things about Jesus. You see, angels want you they would come and speak to you about telling somebody else about Jesus because angels do not preach the gospel. Beware of anybody that said that an angel came to him, spoke to him, and told him something about the gospel. That's the reason why, you better put a little click on this one. That's the reason why Mormons aren't right, because no angel's going to come and speak to anybody about what the Bible says and tell them the ways of God, because they don't do that. That's unbiblical. I don't care what you saw. I'd go more for an alien than an angel. Because it's unbiblical. Paul talks about it in the scriptures. I mean, no, he said angels, he said they don't preach the gospel. But they tell people who to go speak to about the gospel. Okay, again, a second time, Acts chapter 10, verse 3, Cornelius, the angel came and spoke to Cornelius, said, send two of your servants over to Joppa, to the house of the fisherman called Peter, get him to come tell you the ways of salvation. See, the angel didn't tell him the way of salvation, but he told him to go get Peter, who would tell him the ways of salvation. In Acts chapter 12, verse 7, they came again and assisted Peter and broke through into the physical and took off the chains that were binding Peter so that Peter could be free, opened the door, and went out. All I'm trying to say here, church, is listen to me, you can't disregard this part of the gospel. In Acts chapter 12, verse 23, it says Herod's up there speaking and preaching that day himself, and he's got to preaching such blasphemous things that he dropped dead right there, and it says the angels did it. It says the angel of the Lord slew him. Now remember, I made the point last week that one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night. Jesus said that he could call legions of angels. He said he could get the legions of angels to come. At that time, a Roman legion, he said he could have 12 legions of angels. A Roman legion was 6,000 angels. That would have been 72,000 angels. And so they could have killed about 13.5 billion people in one night if they'd have wanted to. Needless to say, God is in charge. Think about this. All the nuclear warheads, all of the muscle that the nations have to push at each other and do this and do that. You know how I just can't keep my mouth shut? I think it's pretty funny that North Korea feels like they really had a great success by getting a former president, Bill Clinton, to come over there because they kidnapped two women, right? And they really did some, whoa, we're a tough country. We got a former president, you know, Bill Clinton, to come. And you know, we're tough. One angel killed the whole nation in a night. You see, people take out the fact of God is going to come back, folks. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back with everything from heaven. When everything from heaven comes back, listen to me, humans don't stand a chance. And they can launch all the nukes they want, and it ain't going to make any difference. The Bible says that the mountains will melt like wax at just the presence of our God. Folks, if we're going to walk in fear of anything, I refuse to walk in fear of anything human or anything humans can do, because my God is so much greater and so much bigger. In Acts chapter 27, verse 23, this is the angels came, and the angel came and spoke to Paul and strengthened him and said, listen, don't worry about the ship. It's not going to sink. No life is going to be lost. Everything's going to be okay. They were given directions of the things of what God was going to do. You think Paul prayed? I bet he prayed. I bet it was an answer to his prayers when the angel showed up. But I'm telling you, if we take a point, take a direction in life to where we don't believe in the supernatural, don't believe anything in the supernatural is going to happen or come to pass, listen to me, folks, we're not going to see anything. Because everything in the Bible operates upon faith. And faith means you believing that God is all, that he is able, that he can do whatever is needed to be done. Amen? Now, let me go to the second one right quick. The second thing that you can see when you pray, and you pray over people, and you pray over your relatives, and you pray over people that are lost. How many in here, you have relatives that you're concerned about their salvation, or concerned about, you know, where they are with Jesus? Raise your hands. Look at this place. See? Every one of us in here. You've got places, people that you're concerned about. Listen to me. You know what they need to know? They need to know one thing. They need to know that God loves them. As crazy as that sounds, as simple as that sounds, they need to know God loves them. The world, it's not about all the issues. It takes all the religious things and takes and just throw it out the window. When people come to an understanding that God loves them, he loves them so much that he sent his son to die on a cross for their sins, that he's not holding them guilty. He already held Jesus guilty, and love is what's extended towards them. When people come to a revelation of that, listen to me, it starts to change their lives. And God says that he'll put a hedge of love around these loved ones that you have, your relatives that you have, these people you're praying for. He'll put a hedge of love that everywhere they turn, they bounce into the love of God. 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 That angels, when you pray, like this scripture, Jeremiah 31:3, that says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. All of a sudden, you start praying that, Lord, I pray over whoever your relative would be. And you pray, said, Father, I thank you that he's going to come to an understanding of the love of God. I pray right now, Father, that he's going to see that how much of an everlasting love you have for him. Well, then God dispatches his angels to go do be the ministers, because of what your words have said have lined up with what his words say. And every time that person turns around and says, man, nobody loves me, all of a sudden, boom, somebody does something nice for him. Well, it's just coincidence, whatever. And they go off this way, boom, something else happens. Because angels, I believe, start to work on that on behalf of the ministers, because this is the ministers to the heirs of salvation, that's you. They're working to see that God's word is fulfilled. You're praying for that person. The angels are hearing what's going on, but the word's coming out of your mouth. It's not this confusion like I talked about the first of the message. It's not this confusion at your workplace going on. It's direction at your workplace going on. They're starting to go around every one of your relatives. Listen to me. If you'd start to pray over every person every night and just pray, Father, I thank you today that you love oh so-and-so. And right now, I ask you to surround them with a hedge of love, that everywhere they turn, God, they're going to find the love of God stretched out to them. They're going to turn the radio. It's going to be on a wrong channel because they left it at the mechanics down there getting worked on, and he changed the channel. And he was listening to K-Love or whatever. And then they're going to turn that thing on, and all of a sudden, boom, the radio's going to come on. They never listened to that before, but all of a sudden it comes on, and it's singing, you know, whatever. I love you. It'll happen. I guarantee it'll happen. It'll happen. I guarantee it'll happen. It'll sort of be just like that. And then that person's going to call him and say, what are you doing? You've been praying for me? Because I tell you, whatever time I turn around, there's some Jesus freak up here talking to me about love. I don't want to love. I'm mad. I'm angry at everybody. And you just smile, say, okay, we'll just keep praying that hedge. It's working. That's the way it works, church. That's the way it works. That's the way you see your relatives one to Jesus. But listen to me, if you give up on the 20th day, you're going to miss the answer. Because the angel was coming on the 21st day. You never quit praying. No matter how hard-headed they are, you just pray more thorns around them, more hedge of thorns of love all around them. Everywhere they're going, it's going to get poked with love. Now, when I was a young man, my grandparents on my mother's side, very godly people. They love the Lord. I always have this image of them watching Billy Graham on the TV. I always have this image of my grandfather sitting there smoking a pipe, reading his Bible. And as a kid, he always had those cans of Prince Albert. I don't even know if they still have cans of Prince Albert, but they had this. Do they? Had those old cans of Prince Albert. And as a little kid, it was a big deal for me to get up there, and I'd put the tobacco in his pipe, and he had the little poker. Man, I'd poke it all down, everything, you know. And he was always so patient and loving with me. And I have his Bible, and it still smells. In certain pages, you open up, it smells like Prince Albert in there. Anyway. They love the Lord. They love Jesus. They shared the gospel with me. They loved me. And I'm gonna tell you something. As much as I wanted to rebel and run, when I think back in my mind, that got in me. That got in me. Of seeing my grandfather reading his Bible. All right. Was that not a hedge of love? In maybe an indirect way? Surrounding my life and my heart, it was making an impression in me at those days, whether I realized it or not. It was getting down into my soul, down into my heart, putting that in me. Church, listen to me. You cannot even imagine the ways that God wants to surround your loved ones with a hedge of love to see them come to Jesus. Now, the angels want to rejoice over one person that gets saved. The angels are ministers to the heirs of salvation. So why would not they be heeding the word of God and spending their whole day surrounding your loved ones, trying to work every situation for love? The only thing that would negate it would be your lack of prayer and your lack of faith. Other than that, when we're praying the will of God, it's going to happen. I can guarantee when we're praying the will of God, it's going to happen. When you begin to pray, supernatural things begin to take place, whether you see it or not. The fight is, don't get discouraged. That's the fight. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Look at the person beside you and say, I'm not going to quit. I think my greatest gift in life is not my ability to speak, is not anything. My greatest gift in life is that I am hard-headed. And years ago, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Robert, if you'll do three things, you'll have success. I was expecting this unbelievable word to just, some kind of a great, big, powerful something. The Lord said, if you'll be faithful, if you'll be consistent, and you won't quit, you'll have success. So I've learned in life that consistency pays off. I just stay with it. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other, no matter if I'm making baby steps or whatever, I'm inching forward. I just be faithful, read my Bible, faithful, everything God asked me to do. And I just refuse to quit. I will not give up until I see success. So no matter how much bad everybody says is going to happen, and it says it's going, listen to me, I just don't listen to it. My God's able. Your God is able. Amen. Amen. Well, put your Bibles up. And I want to pray for you before we dismiss today. I want to ask you just to, if you could just stand up. And can I have my prayer team and my pastoral team come down, please? I want to pray over you, though. I know sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes it seems impossible. Sometimes you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've not seen anything happen, and all kinds of doubts and unbelief comes into you. And there's no way I can understand everything. But I do know this. I do know that God hears your prayers. I do know that God is wanting to move on your behalf. I do know that everything in heaven is for you. So I want to pray for you now. And if you've been discouraged that your prayers haven't been answered, then you're the person I want to talk to. So I'm just going to pray a general prayer, but you get your faith out there and you grab hold of this prayer. Father, I pray right now for each and every person in here that's been discouraged. Every person in here that feels like their prayers have not been heard in heaven. I pray right now, Heavenly Father, that this message so gets into their hearts and down into their lives and begins to stir them. That God, you are able and that you can answer prayer and that you want to answer prayer and that prayer has been launched out and sent on their behalf. And that, Lord, that today stirs them and refreshes them and strengthens them. That you have an answer, and their answer is on the way. I declare right now every stumbling block that's been put in front of them, I declare today in Jesus' name it is removed, and that the path is wide open and clear for them to walk in. Now, Lord, I ask you to bless them. I ask you to speak into their hearts this day. And I thank you so for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. and amen.